Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the State of Recruiting, a weekly podcast featuring the insights of Longhorn recruiting analyst Mike Roach and hosted by Bobby Burton. Roach offers unparalleled insight into recruiting on the 40 acres. Each week, he crisscrosses the state watching and talking to blue chip recruits. And I'm Bobby Burton, a 1992 Texas grad and one of the recruiting industry's founding fathers. I played a formative role in the creation of both 24/7 Sports and Rivals.com. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hook 'em. All right, Mike, welcome in. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, Bobby. It's last week of the Texas high school football regular season, and so I'm a little travel weary, but it's been a lot of fun.
Gotcha. And I guess I was going to ask you, last week of the season, how many teams from each classification make the playoffs these days?
For the most part, four. When you get into the lower levels, it gets a little different based on, district size. But in the higher levels, really when you're talking 3A and up, it's the top four.
Who do you have as your picks to be the state champs this year in the classifications? A couple of the big ones?
You know, I really haven't sat down and done that until I get a bracket and see what the exact road to that is. But, I mean, in 6A, D1, I think there's a chance we get another matchup between Duncanville and Katy, or I'm sorry, Duncanville and North Shore. I do think Duncanville Katy is also a big possibility. I think this is the year Duncanville gets it done and gets over the hump and wins that state championship. And then 6A D2, I would probably have, Highland Park. I'm sorry, not Highland Park. Highland Park would be 5A. 6A D2 would be, I think, Longview has a really good shot at repeating again, too. I like Highland Park. I like Shadow Creek also, which they may run into Highland Park. But there's a couple of really good teams, and I think there's a good chance we see a lot of repeats this year, a lot of teams back. Because at State last year, I noticed a lot of those teams were sophomore and junior heavy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, North Shore and Duncanville certainly were, based on their youth and at the skill positions in particular. All right, so Texas, from a recruiting perspective, last week they lose Ethan Pouncey, the corner out of Florida, because his brother Jordan decides to transfer from Texas over a lack of playing time. A lot of people could see that Jordan just wasn't going to see the field. So this isn't all that surprising, although losing the brother Ethan, who is a talented cornerback prospect, certainly puts a hole in the situation. But this week, Texas steps forward and gets a commit from Dejon Harrison, the young player out of Hutto. What can you tell us about him?
Well, first let me talk about Ethan Pouncey a little bit. I think that when you look at these decommitments in a collective group, they obviously don't look great, right? Anytime you have decommitments, it indicates some instability and things of that nature. But I think if you look at them in a vacuum, you can kind of see them for what they are. And if Texas was undefeated and the number one team in the country right now, and Jordan Pouncey decided he was going to go into the transfer portal, I think Ethan Pouncey still would have decommitted. And so that was just an unfortunate case, and timing-wise ran into with the other two and made it look like things were really falling apart. The other thing about Ethan is, from what I understand, has some pretty serious injury issues and probably would not have been able to even step on the field but for a year or two when he first got to college. So hopefully he gets those things figured out and gets back to, you know, playing well and playing straight. But, I don't know how big of a loss it was other than it was just another body at that position. Now, when it comes to Dejon Harrison, this is a kid we've talked about a lot in the last month or two, I think. Our site, Hornets 24/7, which, by the way, you could subscribe and read a lot more in-depth coverage than what you get here over there. But I think we probably led the way on informing people about Dejon Harrison. He was a name I started to hear pop up over a couple months ago. And I'll actually give Clint Buckley, our other recruiting reporter, the credit on this. He went out to see Hutto in the spring and came back and said, this Dejon Harrison kid is incredible. And he just decommitted from TCU, and I'm going to stay in contact with him because I think, you know, he's a guy Texas could circle back to. And he was right. I think he's about 5'10", 180. Is 11-1, 100 kid on his last recorded time as a junior. So not elite speed, but pretty fast for a high school kid. His tape shows really incredible explosion. He can play receiver. He can also play corner. He does both for Hutto. A source of Texas told me they really liked him as a dark horse at the corner position. But really, it was more about getting just an athlete that can make plays in space and figuring out where to put him. To me, this is the type of kid that goes to a Kansas State or a TCU or Oklahoma State, and then we wonder why Texas didn't recruit him years down the road. And so it's interesting to see that they're now pulling the trigger on guys like that. But not a guy that's going to blow the socks off you from a ranking standpoint or from an offer list standpoint, but a guy who I think has a chance to be really good in that class and kind of be a sneaky play.
Yeah, I think that I watched his film, obviously, and what I saw wasn't so much a burst of speed as it was a short space quickness. He made a lot of people miss in space, like a lot. And so I get where Texas is going with that. He is a slight size guy. He's only 5'10". And so I wonder if all of that is going to translate. But I definitely don't have any issues with the take. From that perspective, I think that he could play multiple positions in a year where Texas has lost so much in the secondary. It's clear that you can never have enough defensive backs in this league, even though I think that he may actually look a little better on offense as a slot to me. But long story short, nice pickup for the Horns, local product. And like you said, I mean, it's Texas has done a good job, I think, overall, of staying on players late into the process and coming up with some nice finds relatively close to the end as we approach. I guess we're within a month now of the December signing period. So good pickup there. Mike, next question. You talked about decommitments. Anybody else you're particularly worried about right now? I mean, let me ask you a name before you say the total list. Let me ask some guy I haven't heard from in a long time. That's Vernon Broughton. How's his recruitment shaking out? Texas, he settled with Texas there and it's all done.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to his mom and talked to Vernon a little bit, and there's been no second doubts from their side. They are Vernon is set to early enroll at Texas. He's set to be done with his classes soon, and he is extremely excited about getting everything done with and getting to Texas in January. So a kid who I thought there may be some, you know, maybe we'd have to watch if things went bad, but he has really not looked back since committing. Him and his family have been all in on it. So, I would have zero worries about him. In fact, I'd probably put Vernon in the top three or four kids that it would completely shock me if something happened. I'll see him this week, so we'll get to talk to him some more.
Okay, good. So who are the guys right now that you're kind of hearing or you're kind of concerned with from a sticking with the program type situation?
You know, it's still the out-of-state guys. It's still Bijan Robinson and Van Fillinger. Now, I think things with Fillinger have changed a little bit. I think Texas is swinging back into more control there. You know, with Bijan Robinson, he's been very plain with his comments, and he's been very I think upfront with the Texas staff about the way he feels. And, you know, it doesn't help probably when he tunes in and sees them going away from the run game and, you know, and running backs disappearing for time. So they've really got some things they could work on to fix. The thing that I think it gets very interesting is if USC hires Urban Meyer. I think that that really changes the dynamic. So I think Texas really has to do all they can in the last month or two here to lock down Bijan, get him to sign, get everything done before USC can make a move on the coaching front and before he can, you know, really have any doubts. I'm not saying that he's on decommitment watch, but I would say he's a guy that, again, he's been very upfront with his thoughts on everything.
Yeah, and I would say that USC is about 95% unlikely to hire Urban Meyer based on the president, their president's most recent statement. It sounds like they're not going to go in that direction, which leads you to wonder who they might go after and how that affects other players in on the West Coast that Texas is interested in or could have been interested in. Robinson and Fillinger also involved there. Anybody in state that you're concerned with?
I would say no. You know, I mean, we've heard some things on a couple guys. One thing that I think is interesting, and I don't know how it affects him. I need to talk to him more about it. One of Ty Jordan's very good friends just committed to Tennessee. And Tennessee was probably a finalist for Ty when he committed to Texas. Outside of him, and that's not to say that I've heard anything regarding Ty looking around, because I haven't. You know, we've again looked into things with Jaquinn and Jackson. Oklahoma has certainly been trying, and they showed up at Duncanville last week while they were out on the road. But Texas was also there later in the week, and I'm still hearing that there's really not much going on with Jaquinda Jackson looking elsewhere. So, you know, I think that in-state, this core is pretty solid.
Gotcha. The you mentioned, you wrote about a kid at Tyler Junior College this week that is now getting some interest from Texas. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Maurice Wren, a favorite of mine when he was at Mesquite Horn as a wide receiver. You know, he played kind of both ways, and Texas really kind of liked him as an outside linebacker when he was in high school. And I think there was a chance he was going to get – he had offers, I mean, big offers from schools like Washington, Oklahoma State, to come play outside linebacker and kind of rush the passer at 6'4", 220 with some athleticism. But he got it in his head that he wanted to be a wide receiver, Bobby. And how many times have you probably heard that story? So he decided to go to Louisiana Tech to play wide receiver, and then got there and realized that he was in Ruston, Louisiana, and ended up transferring before the season started. So he spent the last 2 years at Tyler Junior College playing outside linebacker. Great kid, a kid I've been in contact with. In fact, I scolded him last night because he and I talk pretty often, and he's just never mentioned that Texas has been increasing contact. He was like, "Oh, I thought you knew." So I was like, "How would I know? You haven't told me." You know, with Maurice, Texas had a lot of interest in him as a high schooler. There was a point in time where Todd Orlando went out to go see him play, and he didn't. It was a night where Horn only played him at wide receiver, so he didn't get a chance to see him in action. And I think a guy that obviously they've kept tabs on since he's been at Tyler Junior College, and you know, really I think he kind of fits as an outside, maybe a defensive end even, or a pass rusher, but could play inside with his size and athleticism. And I think if Texas offers, it's a done deal.
And he was originally committed to Missouri, is that correct, or is he still committed to Missouri?
Yeah, I believe he committed to Missouri earlier this year. He is now open to looking around.
Gotcha. What about the other linebackers Texas is looking at? Anything new on those on that front?
Well, they'll host Jaquandus Burns, the IMG linebacker originally from Terrell, this weekend on an official visit. He'll be in for the Kansas State game. I think Texas can really make some progress there if they have a good visit and maybe lock him down as well. It seems like they've, you know, excuse me. It seems early in the year, you know, when I would ask about linebackers, I was continually told, well, we have enough linebackers and we're not really that concerned about depth. And now there seems to be some sort of mad scramble for linebacker depth. So we'll see where things stand with them. Josh White is always going to remain in the picture, I believe. but I just don't see things really happening with him. He's another guy I'll see this week, so we'll get an opportunity to check in with him. But that's pretty much it for now. I think that it's really Burns, and they'll see what's going on with Maurice Wren. And I think we'll probably see a few more targets, either JUCO or high school guys identified.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, Juwan Mitchell, nobody even knew he existed, at least Texas fans didn't, until, what, a month from now? When did he first pop on the radar for the Longhorns?
Oh, he didn't pop up until spring. Remember, yeah, they signed him in, like, May.
Yeah, so just remember that whenever you start thinking that it's all going to be done right up now. Sometimes things wait, and particularly junior college prospects. Mike, talk about where you were last weekend. Where did you go, and who did you see?
Last weekend, so on Thursday, had a very cold game. It was about 36 in the Metroplex when Tom Herman landed his helicopter at C.H. Collins Stadium in Denton to see Denton Ryan. Saw them beat the brakes off of Grapevine. Yeah, Denton Ryan is just crazy rolling. They'll probably be pretty much unopposed until they reach the fourth round of the playoffs, the regional final. And that's kind of where they've run into trouble every year. They've run into Highland Park the last few years and just haven't been able to clear that hurdle. I talked to both Jatavion Sanders and Billy Bowman, the Texas commits on that team, about, you know, what's it going to take to clear that hurdle. And both of them say that they feel their team's a little more tight-knit now. And, you know, I think both of those guys have stepped up and are bigger players on the team than they were this time last year as sophomores. It's crazy. Billy Bowman runs a punt back for a touchdown just about every week, and yet some teams keep punting to him. They did it again, and he housed a punt again. Really just a kid that, again, I think fits from a do they have many kids on the roster like him who can just stick their foot in the ground, change directions, and explode? I think he'll be a threat on return. I think he'll be a really good nickel or safety if they really like him there. And if he wanted to play if they wanted to play him at receiver, he could be a really strong slot prospect. So just a really good all-around player. And then Jatavion Sanders was really good as a pass rusher. I just love his ability as a pass rusher and have since I saw him last year. He can also play a little receiver slash tight end, but I really like him coming off the edge. I think he's a waste on the offensive side of the ball. And then on Friday, I made my way out to Scottsdale, Arizona for a little bit of better weather and went and saw Saguaro in action. And they played – So Saguaro is
timeout, Mike. Timeout, Mike.
Yeah.
The G. Let's get it right. The G is silent.
Oh, am I saying it wrong? Saguaro. Is it Saguaro?
Yeah. It's Saguaro.
Well, they told me Saguaro there. Okay. That's on me then.
That would be new to me.
That's on
Saguaro,
me.
Saguaro. Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay.
So Saguaro is basically the dynasty of Arizona football.
Right.
They've got their state championships up on their stadium. They have won a state championship every year in this decade except for 2012. I expected kind of maybe like an Allen type atmosphere, and it really wasn't. It's just a stark reminder of when you get outside of Texas that the atmosphere is much, much different. But you know, a really talented team. Obviously, there to see Keely Ringo, the 5-star corner. Keely had just been presented his All-American Bowl jersey that day. He played a little bit of running back. They maybe threw at him once or twice at corner. But the team pretty much that they played laid down, understood that they really had no shot. And they've got a D1 quarterback and just wouldn't throw the ball. And I think that upset Saguaro's head coach, Jason Mons. With Keeley, you know, things are we had the opportunity to talk after the game, ran a story on him earlier in the week. Things are still there with Texas. He plans to take an official visit in December. You know, he wants to take an official visit. He's got four left to the rest of his top five, which would be Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. I don't think he's going to be able to fit them all in because they're going to make another deep run, and he basically has until the All-American Bowl when he plans to announce to get his visits in. But I think Texas will definitely be one of the schools that gets one. And, you know, they'll have a puncher's chance. I think that Georgia is the clear leader. I think that Oregon may have even worked their way into second. He's got some ties there behind the scenes that that I think makes Oregon attractive to him. But Texas has kind of always been in his heart. And so I think that they'll have a chance to do something maybe on the visit.
That's very interesting because I just think that he's an incredible, incredible talent, and if not the best, one of the best players in the country. So, was your assessment in that category? I mean, would you say if he were playing in Texas, is he a top five prospect in the state of Texas?
He'd be the number one prospect in the state of Texas for me. He is, and I didn't get to see a ton of him at corner because, like I said, they didn't really throw. But he made, like, one of the first plays of the game, they ran away from him. They ran to the opposite perimeter. And he tracked the guy down before he could get outside the outside hash from the backside. There's times when you go out to see five-star guys, and I tweeted this, that I've been out to Arizona twice this year to see guys who are ranked five stars. And you could tell within the first 2 or 3 minutes of seeing them that they were five-star athletes. And that was Kelee Ringo and Bijan Robinson. And I think he's definitely a five-star athlete. I would have loved to have seen him more in coverage, but I think that kid is as elite gets.
Gotcha. Where are you going this week?
This week, so to wrap up the regular season, will be a three-day trip to Houston. It's funny, I was actually talking to Jake Major's mom the other day, and she was asking me about traveling, and I said, yeah. I said, it's been a lot. You know, I'm excited. This should be the end of it, and I'll be back in the Metroplex for a while. And then I remembered that I had scheduled this three-day trip to Houston to end the season. So one more trip down the road, at least for the time being. So Thursday night, I'll be able to see Troy O'Meara and Fort Ben Austin. Is there an action? Friday night, I'm going to see 2021 running back target LJ Johnson and Cy Fair against 2020 linebacker target Josh White and Cy Creek. That'll be my Friday night game. And then Saturday, I'm going to see Vernon Broughton against Cy Falls on the Saturday morning game to basically end the season.
That's very interesting. So that is a heavy dose of Houston for you. Mike, anything new on other players out there like Kelvonte Dixon and Alfred Collins? I know Texas is waiting on decisions from both of them, but have you heard anything?
Nothing real new. I think that I think with both guys, I would expect, you know, anytime something could drop, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think that I still think that both end up at Texas. Not sure, you know, what's going on as far as the delays, but I think that there's a chance Alfred may push his announcement to the All-American game, which will be January 4th. And I think that I'm not sure what Kelvonte's up to, but everything I've heard still makes me feel very confident that he lands at Texas.
Okay. Anybody else or anything else we should be on the lookout for this week?
You know, this is it's the week where I think that you'll start to see visits kind of either trim down or really expand based on who that you're recruiting. So teams that have kids in the playoffs, those playoff teams will go into tunnel vision a little bit. You'll start seeing less visits from them. Kids on teams who are eliminated, they'll have nothing to do, so they'll start showing up at a lot more places. So I think that there's a chance we could see some guys here or there pop up and down. But other than that, you know, I think that this is going to be really about Texas getting themselves right on the field. Could really use a big win against Kansas State this week and trying to turn things around there. And I think they're focused on that a lot more than recruiting at this point. And I think a lot of the recruits are focused a lot more on their high school playoffs and everything like that.
Gotcha. You mentioned the IMG linebacker coming in. Is he the only official visitors this weekend that you're aware of at this time?
Yeah, he's the only guy I've got down as of right now.
Okay, gotcha. All right, Mike, I appreciate your time, bud. Thanks for joining in, and your expertise is always welcome. And you're by far, in my opinion, the best there is on Texas recruiting these days, and you seem to have a pulse on just about all aspects of it. So I wanted to say thank you to you. Also, before I let you go, I wanted, before we say this follow-up segment, or the follow-out here of the podcast, I want to remind people that we have do have two other podcasts that you can subscribe to. One is The Blitz, featuring Jeff Howe, and then the other is The Flagship with Chip Brown. Both good quality discussion about the Longhorns if you enjoy listening to this and downloading them. But for Mike Roach, this is Bobby Burton. Thank you for joining us for The State of Recruiting. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hook 'em.
Wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.